Will you please turn to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read for verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 27. This morning we will like to continue on this matter of the breaking of bread, preparation for the breaking of bread. And then our brother Jerry will speak on participation at the time of the breaking of bread. So that whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty in respect of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and thus eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For the eater and drinker eats and drinks judgment to himself, not distinguishing the body. On this account, many among you are weak and infirm, and a good many are falling asleep. But if we judge ourselves, so were we not judged. But being judged, we are disciplined of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So that, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone be hungry, let him eat at home, that he may not come together for judgment. But the other things, whenever I come, I will set in order. And then we'll turn back to chapter 10. We read verses 31 and 32. 1 Corinthians 10, 31, 32. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatever ye do, do all things to God's glory. Gave no occasion to stumbling, whether to Jews or Greeks or the assembly of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee that it is Thy mercy and grace, Thy great salvation that has brought us to Thyself. We thank Thee for reminding again by the table what love Thou hast bestowed upon us. Thou dost love us and love us to the uttermost. Lord, we are grateful. We thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. And we do want to take this table in a worthy manner, that Thou mayest be glorified. So, Lord, as we continue in Thy presence, we pray that Thy Spirit will open Thy Word to us and open our hearts to Thy Word, that we may really be brought into the reality of the breaking of bread. We give Thee all the glory in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to begin with a question. Were you prepared this morning as you come to the breaking of bread. Are you aware of what this taking the loaf and drinking the cup means? Is it a formality that you go through? Or is there a spiritual reality involved? The Corinthian believers, they came together to break the bread. But when they came, some ate and drink, and others were even hungry. They had a kind of atmosphere that is totally opposite to the atmosphere, to the spirit of the breaking of bread. And yet, after they ate and drink, in such a selfish, unloving way, enjoying themselves, and seeing those hungry waiting there, they started to take the Lord's table. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul said, I cannot command you in doing such a thing. You need to be prepared when you come to the Lord's table. If you come in such a way, so casual, so worldly, so careless, you're bringing judgment to yourself. It is a serious matter. Prove yourself before you come to eat and to drink. Judge yourself, lest you be judged. So, dear brothers and sisters, we need to be prepared. Prepared ourselves. Prepare our spirit, that we may come to take the Lord's table in the right spirit, with the right attitude. And by doing so, we will receive the right consequence. Otherwise, we will only eat and drink judgment to ourselves. So, brothers and sisters, whenever we come to take the Lord's table, we need to prepare ourselves. You know, we do not have people, you know, among the brethren, they are responsible brothers or elders. They were there guarding the table. they had to make sure that those who partake of the table are really saved, knowing the Lord, and in good spiritual condition. Now, we do not have such people who are guarding the table. We believe the Holy Spirit guards the table. We feel that it is the duty of every brother and sister to examine themselves, to prove themselves, to judge themselves before they partake of the loaf and of the cup. So according to the Word of God, we feel that it is absolutely necessary when you come to this time, you need to prepare beforehand. You know the reason why we suggest. Now, even though the meeting begins at 10 o'clock, we suggest that you come at least 10 minutes before 10. For what reason? Lest we have not prepared ourselves and we will be given at least 10 minutes to be quiet before the Lord, prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. But to me, I feel the best way to prepare ourselves for the Lord's table is not that 10 minutes. The best way to prepare for the Lord's table is daily. We need to be daily prepared for the Lord's table. You remember that in the old days, as you read Acts chapter 2, in the beginning, when these people believed in the Lord Jesus, 120, and then 3,000, and then more were added, they broke bread every day. In Acts chapter 2, it was told that they met together at Solomon's porch and they broke bread from house to house. Every time they ate, they used this opportunity to remember the Lord. They were prepared. So to them, they could break bread every day at every meal. They wanted to remember the Lord. They loved the Lord. They wanted to have fresh fellowship with the Lord. They wanted to testify to the world of what the Lord has done for them. They wanted to wait for the Lord's return. So, brothers and sisters, to me, I feel the best way to prepare for the Lord's table is to be prepared every day. And that is the way of Christian life. Christian life is not Sunday life. Christian life is every day. Every moment, every hour, whether you are at office, or you're at home, or you're at a school, or you're playing, wherever you are, whatever you are engaged with, your heart is ready for the Lord. This is Christian life. You know, some people have the habit before they go to bed, they examine themselves. They prove themselves. They try to look back whether throughout the day they had done something wrong, disgraceful to the Lord. And they wanted to repent, confess before the Lord, and clear up everything before they go to bed. Now, that's a good practice. But I think the better practice is, during the day, whenever the Spirit of God convicts you of something, repent right away. Confess right away. Clear it up right away. So that your relationship with the Lord is always living and fresh. Instead of waiting until evening. Now, worse than that, if you wait until the time when you take the Lord's table. And that's the reason why in some places they have the practice. They do not have the Lord's table every Lord's day, because it would be too much for them. So they had it once a week, once a month, or even four times a year. So they had time to set apart, for instance, Saturday. Set apart a day to prepare themselves for the Lord's table. Now, it looks good, but it is not the best way. So the best way is, brothers and sisters, we need to be prepared for the Lord's table every day, every moment. If we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:7. That is the way that we should prepare ourselves every day, every moment. So when it comes to the Lord's Day, that preparation is a tidying up. We need that. We need a time that we can come before the meeting, not after or during the meeting. You know, if you excuse me to say one thing, every Lord's Day when I came, I passed through a number of so-called churches. Huguenot Road is a road of many churches. You have Catholic, you have Protestant, you have Anglican, you have Lutheran, you have Presbyterian, and you even have a Jewish meeting. I thank God. When I rode here, I saw in every place is packed with cars. I usually left home at 9:15. And I saw every place was already packed with cars. But when I arrived here, how many cars I could see? On the one hand, I thank the Lord for what I saw. On the other hand, I felt ashamed. We need to prepare ourselves. Are we so spiritual, super spiritual, that we need no preparation? Thank God if that's the case. We need to be prepared. You know, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 28, but let a man prove himself, and thus eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now the word prove here, in some version, it is examine ourselves. In other words, before we take the bread and the cup, one thing we must do, we must examine ourselves. We cannot come casually, carelessly. We have to prove ourselves that we are in a worthy manner. Now this prove ourselves of examining ourselves is not self-examination. It's not self-introspection. It's not trying to examine yourself in your own light. No. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 11, what will happen if you try to examine yourself in your own light? Let me read it to you. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, and compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and among the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Think of that. If you kindle a fire and compass yourself about with sparks in the light of your fire. In other words, when we try to examine ourselves, how do? We search our mind. We try to kindle a light to see if we are right or we are wrong, or if it's somewhere, it's not quite right. Now, if we do that, self-examination, self-introspection, this is the best the world can offer. But what is the result? It is said, this shall he have of my hand. He shall lie down in sorrow. If you are honest, and if you really examine yourself, what will happen? You will lie down in sorrow. You will be condemned. You will feel your conscience being accused. You will have no peace no rest. This will happen. So when the Bible says, prove yourself, examine yourself, it doesn't mean that you try to kindle your own fire and try to see where you are, how you are, what you are. No. What the Bible means is, prove yourself. Examine yourself, not in your own light, but in the light of His countenance. If we walk in the light, and what is that light in 1 John? In verse 5 it said, God is light. In other words, we need to prove ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. But the only way that really works is you don't examine yourself in your own light. Because if it's only your own light, you will lie down in sorrow. Either you will be so condemned, accused, or your light is nothing but darkness. And that deceives you. So the result is the same. You lie down in sorrow. But God is light. We need to place ourselves, as it were, in the light of God. We need to come to God and say, Lord, I want to expose myself before your light. May your light enlighten me. Show me where I am. Whether there is something that I have sinned against thee and I'm not conscious of. Let the light of God shine upon you. And if we walk in the light, as God lives in the light, God is light. His light is perfect. I often use the illustration. His light is 100 candlelight. And when we come into His light, and the light of His life shines within us. When we first begin believing in the Lord Jesus, it is only one candlelight. In other words, the life within us is light because it is God, it is Christ. But we have such a small measure of Christ that it only gives us one candlelight. But even so, if we walk in the light that we now have, as God lives in the light, what happens? We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sins. Why? Because if 100 candlelight shine upon you at once, you will die. You cannot bear it. It overwhelms you. So God is so gracious, so patient. He will lead you step by step into fuller and fuller light. So what we need is to walk in the light that we have now. Some people may have 10 candlelight. You may have only one candlelight. But if you walk in that one candlelight, you have fellowship with God. But if you have 10 candlelight and walk in 5 candlelight, the fellowship with God is broken. That is the way that we have to have a living relationship with the Lord. The only way to have a living relationship with the Lord, day by day, is to walk in the light as God is in the light. We have fellowship with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sins. Our conscience will be at peace. And we have unclouded fellowship with God. That's the way to prepare ourselves. That's the way that we may come to the Lord's table. That's the way that we may wait for the coming of the Lord. It is a daily matter. So, dear brothers and sisters, the question is, do you have a daily living relationship with the Lord? Do you have a real Christian life in your daily life? I think that is the best preparation. And even that does not mean that you do not need a little more tidying up. We need to come to the presence of the Lord before we partake of the Lord's table. That is the first thing. And then you find in the Word of God, it says the second thing. It is also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It is in verse 31. But if we judge ourselves, so we are not judged. Now, brothers and sisters, those who know Greek tells us that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there are two different words. In the Greek original that are being translated, judge. Here he said, but if we judge ourselves, the word judge here is the same word as is used in verse 29, distinguish. In verse 29, said, not degree distinguishing the body. The word distinguish, discern, is the same word as you'll find in verse 31 the first time, if we judge ourselves. So the word judge here is not the sentence of a judge. The judge here is to discern, to distinguish. But then the other word, as you read on, so we were not judged. Now that word judged is really the sentence of a judge. And it is the same as verse 29. For the eater and drinkers eat and drink judgment to himself. And it is also the word used in 32, but being judged. In other words, that is the regular word used for judgment. Sentence. As if by a judge. So here you'll find that when we come to the Lord's table, there is something we need to do. We need to judge ourselves, not in the sense of passing judgment, as if we are judged, but in the sense of distinguishing, discern. We need to have a certain discernment, certain understanding before we take the Lord's table. Now, prove yourself is personal. In other words, you have to examine yourself as to whether you have a living relationship with the Lord. It's life. But here, judge yourself or distinguish yourself or discern yourself is not in the matter of your life. It's the matter of what you are doing. In other words, you should know what you are doing. You should discern it. You should distinguish it, that this is not just an ordinary thing. You see the bread, we have said, it is not literal, the body of Christ, nor is it symbolic of the body of Christ. It is a spiritual reality. And we need to discern it. We need to see what we are doing. You know, sometimes we do come to the Lord's table, take the bread and the loaf as if nothing. Now, that's not distinguishing the body. That's not discerning the body. We need to know what we are doing. And that is important. Why? Because if we do not know what we are doing, and we do it carelessly, we will be judged. God will judge us. So it follows and said, but being judged. Now that's a step backward. Now if we take the bread and drink the wine without distinguishing, discerning what we are doing, then what will happen? We will be judged. We will be judged by none other but God. But this judgment is discipline. It is not like the people of the world. When God judged them, it's judgment. Sentence. Of death. But when God's people are being judged, it is discipline. Whom the Lord loves, he chastises, he disciplines. And thank God, by that, we will not be condemned with the world. So, dear brothers and sisters, when we come to the Lord's table, I think these two things are the least that we must be prepared. We must prepare ourselves in the sense of proving ourselves, of examining ourselves in the light of God, that there is a living relationship with Him. And that is in tune with the meaning of the breaking of bread. And secondly, we need to discern and distinguish and know and understand what we are doing. That this is not a small thing. There is a spiritual reality. And that's the reason why our Lord Jesus commands us to do it. Finally, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which also deals with the Lord's table. And it gave us an exhortation. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all things to God's glory. Everything we do in our life, even in this matter of eating or drinking. And in 1 Corinthians 10, you'll find eating and drinking has something to do with the Lord's table. We cannot eat the Lord's table and the table of the demons. We need to be separated. So, whatever we do, there is a principle. The principle behind all Christian behavior is do all to the glory of God. Nobody lives for himself or herself. We are bought with a price. We live here not for ourselves. We live here for the glory of God. Glorify the Lord in our life. So whether we eat or drink, it is for the glory of God. God is glorified when He sees His children. Remember what He has done. That His children is maintained in the first love. That's the way to glorify God. Why do we break bread Sunday after Sunday? Why? Not just to benefit ourselves. We are spiritually blessed. But more and foremost, God is glorified. God has done it, and we appreciate it. That's glorifying God. It is more than just our blessing. It is God's glory. So we need to see that when we come together to break the bread, is God glorified. And then he said, give no occasion to stumbling, whether to Jews or Greeks or the assembly of God. That is just the negative side. On the positive side, we do all things to the glory of God. On the negative side, give no occasion of stumbling to anybody. If we are doing something unpleasing to God, we may stumble someone. If we do it carelessly, people will imitate us and do it carelessly. If we do it without any preparation, we give occasion of stumbling to the weaker ones. So, dear brothers and sisters, this is not just something for our own. It is something for the Church of God, even the Jews and the Gentiles, that everything will really glorify God and give no stumbling to anybody. So that's the preparation. I'm afraid I've occupied too much time, and our brother has only 5 minutes.